From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Nearly 60 Palestinians were killed, hundreds wounded Monday in clashes along the Israel-Gaza frontier, as the U.S. officially opened its embassy in Jerusalem, part of the 70th anniversary of celebrations of Israel's founding. Tens of thousands of Palestinian protesters streamed to the border with Israel, some using slingshots to hurl stones at troops who responded with tear gas and, in some cases, live fire. Saeed Barakat, senior aide to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, denounced the Israeli use of lethal force.
An act that tantamount to a war crime, which we condemn with the strongest possible terms, and urge the international community to move to provide international protection for our people.
Mr. Abbas called for 3 days of mourning and a general strike. White House spokesman Raj Shah blamed Hamas for the violence.
Hamas is responsible for these tragic deaths, that their rather cynical exploitation of the situation, it is what's leading to these deaths, and we want them to stop.
The U.S. Embassy was formally opened Monday with a ceremony in Jerusalem. Among those on hand, Deputy U.S. Secretary of State John Sullivan.
Moving the U.S. Embassy on a broader scale is also a step towards advancing peace in this city, in the broader region, and throughout the world.
Palestinians who view East Jerusalem as a future capital of a Palestinian state denounce the move. The World Health Organization has given the green light to the Democratic Republic of Congo to import and use experimental Ebola vaccine. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus is the WHO Director General.
We have agreement, registration, plus import permit, everything formally agreed already.
The UN agency said the DRC reported nearly 40 cases of Ebola, including 19 fatalities in Bokoro in remote northwest. This is VOA News. With nearly all votes counted, it appears supporters of Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr are the big winners following Sunday's parliamentary elections in Iraq, the first ballot since the defeat of Islamic State. Iran-backed Shia militia chief Hadi al-Amiri's bloc came in second, followed by the backers of Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. Washington Institute for Near East Policy Distinguished Fellow and former Ambassador James Jeffrey said it was not a good outcome for Iran.
Essentially, you can form an anti-Iranian coalition with Muqtada al-Sadr's people, Alawi folks, the Kurds, Abadi, and the al-Hakim people.
But he also said the electoral outcome was not good news for the U.S. Sadr is an opponent of both countries. A top Chinese trade official arrives in Washington Tuesday for talks aimed at averting a trade war between the world's top two economies. China has welcomed President Donald Trump's efforts to resolve the sanctioning of Chinese telecom giant ZTE, which uses U.S. components in many of its products. It misled regulators about shipments to Iran. University of Chicago political science professor Dali Yang said ZTE has been hit hard by the restrictions.
The earlier sanctions on ZTE have been crippling to the company, which has already suspended the sale of many of its products within China and, in fact, globally.
Meanwhile, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said bilateral disagreements with Beijing remain wide on narrowing the two countries' trade imbalance. The two Koreas are set to hold another high-level meeting Wednesday to discuss military and humanitarian negotiations to reduce border tensions and prepare for the reunions of families separated by the Korean conflict. It's part of implementing commitments made during last month's inter-Korean summit and comes ahead of a planned June 12 meeting between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump. In Afghanistan, Taliban fighters are threatening the provincial capital of Herat in western Farah province. One local official warned security forces must act quickly to avoid the capture by insurgents. One report said at least two members of the Afghan security forces were killed and four wounded in the attack. Australian climber Steve Plain has become the fastest climber to scale the highest peaks on seven continents, taking just 117 days to accomplish the feat called the Seven Summits. Plain successfully scaled the tallest Mount Everest on Monday. May is considered the best month to climb Everest. Plain was among at least 30 climbers reaching the summit on Monday. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that states can legalize sports gambling, striking down a 1992 federal law. The justices voted 6-3 to back an effort by the state of New Jersey to allow such wagering. Sports leagues opposed, saying it will encourage game fixing and other types of cheating. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.